I begin with this story. Have you ever owned anything special, but after a short time, for whatever reason, that particular item that you owned lost its shine, lost its luster? Perhaps it got so bad that you thought, maybe I ought to just throw this old shirt away, or these old pair of shoes away. You thought about scrapping it, or maybe you hope for some miraculous intervention for it to become restored. I used to head over to my friend's home. He had this amazing 71 Chevy Nova. Now, I don't know if anyone are car enthusiasts. If you are, why don't you raise your hand to me? Anyone love cars? Okay, a few of you know about cars. This guy would tell me, man, if I just had a little bit of cash, I could easily fix this thing up. And, you know, and once I were to get this thing fixed up on the inside, on the outside, this thing would be a completely different type of vehicle. It was always in his garage and he was always working on it. And to be honest, I'm not exactly sure how long it took him to restore this car or when he finally got it on the road. But I believe that this fella was motivated and he determined that nothing was going to get in his way to allow his dream to come to reality. Sometimes in our life, we have to understand that for something to be restored, someone has to value that item and know something about the process of restoration. Another illustration comes to mind. I recall a couple times stopping by the Austin Shoe Hospital, picking up a pair of these black boots for my lovely wife. And you know what's interesting? They were these same boots, and they always needed these same type of repairs. Guys, I'm sure you don't know what I'm talking about, stopping by a shoe leather store to get a boot or an item fixed. But, you know, every time I would see this item, I'd say, babe, why don't we just get rid of these boots? Why don't we just throw them in the trash? Well, my wife would declare to me, well, babe, not these boots and not at this time. I would always ask this question time and time again, and she replied, the reason why was because these boots, they were not only cute, but they were comfortable, a rare find indeed. I'm sure come wintertime, or perhaps in a few months when it does get a little bit cold in Texas, by the way, we do get some cold weather in Texas, I'll be making my way back to that shoe doctor again to pick up those same boots. But I would be remiss if I did not declare that if it were up to me, I'd be throwing those boots in the trash. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ never considers throwing something away because they seem a little worn out? Aren't you glad that even though others might not value you or not exactly understand what's going on, you might be a little rough around the edges, Jesus Christ is not going to throw us out with the trash because he has value that he has placed in his creation. The Lord speaks about this idea that he loves us and he caused us, that he died upon a cross because he loves us enormously, immensely today. He desires that humanity, us, me and you, that we discover what it really means to be restored in the eyes of the Lord. We might not have what seems to be value in the sight of others, so it might seem, but to the master, creator, and restorer, the Lord speaks about restoration as an important process in the Christian journey. Maybe your past cannot be reversed here today, but in Christ, I believe that we can have a fresh start in Him. We can find healing and restoration at the foot of the cross. Aren't you thankful we serve a God that is able to wash away our sins, transforming our circumstance and situations? And even though we might feel a little bit beat up on the edges, I'm thankful that He makes all things new. If anyone celebrates that with me, if so, why don't we clap our hands together and praise Him for that. I'd like to turn our attention this morning to our focus passage in Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 25 through 27, reading from the New King James. Chapter 2, verse 25, it reads this way. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And so for a few brief moments here today, we're going to speak on this subject. The great restoration when God rewrites our story. When God rewrites our story. I'm thankful that the Lord God Almighty is in the restoration business today. I don't know what you came with or what you've been facing, but we serve a God that is a healer and a deliverer and a restorer. He can bring transformation and change to our life today. I'm thankful we serve a mighty God. As we begin to look at the context of this scripture, I can just simply imagine what's going on. A terrible plague of locusts has devoured the land. God speaks to His people, the Israelites, those who actually had rebelled against Him through the prophet, grabbing their attention with a plague of locusts. I mean, there's locusts everywhere. There's locusts in your cereal. There's locusts in your milk, in your coffee that you love pouring out of that coffee machine. There's locusts everywhere. They're destructive, devouring everything in sight. And you just can't seem to escape. Billions of these insects, and there's nothing you can do to stop their devastation. But the prophet Joel warned the destruction would come upon them. That was going to be much worse than what they were experiencing with these locusts if they did not repent, ask God to forgive them of their past, in essence, turn their back from their sin, then God would ultimately destroy them. I can only imagine the tenor of the mood in the room. This crowd, they're probably not so happy, not so pleased with this news being delivered. They've already been decimated by these terrible bugs. And now the threat was going to be much worse. But layered in the middle of these warnings to change their ways was the promise of hope. Aren't you thankful that we find a hope today, no matter what you're going through, no matter your circumstance, your pain, your strain, your distress, your complex nature that you're facing right now? Jesus Christ is your hope in the middle of your dark hour. He is there and He cares about your circumstance today. God loves me enough to discipline me, but His punishment doesn't last forever because He always provides a means for restoration in our life. Maybe I have struggled or stumbled, maybe lost my way, but the Lord is always waiting with His arms wide open, ready to receive me, ready to forgive me, ready to bring healing into my life. This passage describes how the Lord will restore all that's been damaged and lost during a time of devastation in life. He wants me to know that it's not over today, that the destruction is not final, because the Lord God Almighty, He is a restoring God. He is a transforming God. He loves you and He desires to have relationship with you today. Can we clap our hands and thank Him today for that kind of love demonstrated through Calvary? We might sit here today and wonder, how on earth could God destroy something that was destroyed? Those struggles that I might have faced, so painful, so deep, it doesn't seem possible. Well, let me ask this. What have the locusts consumed and devastated in your life over the years? What hurts, what pains have you continued to carry over such a long period in your own life? We all have experience, by the way. We all have disappointments, things that have occurred in our life. We have regrets. We've made mistakes. We've experienced neglected opportunities. Each one of us have made incorrect decisions that cannot be reversed. Perhaps for some of us today, there's some sin that's not surrendered to the Lord. Whatever the locusts have destroyed, God is able to restore. My message today is about finding hope in the darkness, finding hope for our circumstances, because we serve a God who is in the restoration business. There's nothing too hard for my God today. Can you testify today to someone around you and say, hey, there is absolutely nothing that is too hard for my Lord today? How do you know? I can testify that He's been there for me in the middle of my darkest hour. He's been there for me when I've made mistakes and fallen. He has been my strength in my time of need. I don't know what your situation is today, but I can tell you with assurance that Jesus Christ is greater than the pain you've experienced today. I can tell you that He can turn your Red Sea problem into a super highway. He can open blind eyes. He can unstop deaf ears. We can make the lame to walk. He can take out and remove cancer. He can provide healing and deliverance and direction today. If you'll turn your situation over to Jesus, He's able to meet your need. The same God that hears your prayers is the same God that walked on water. Jesus Christ is able to do all things if we'll turn our issue over to Him. Calvary demonstrates the length to which our Savior will go to meet our needs in the face of sin. I'm thankful for Calvary today. I'm thankful for the resurrection story. Where would any of us be without His grace? Where would I be without His mercy, His power transforming my situation? Where would I be without Jesus being made real in our lives? Praise God. Praise God. Before God can rewrite our story, I believe there are a few important points to consider in this restoration process. First of all, for restoration to occur, we must uncover what brought us to this point. What has brought us to this point of need? What has brought us to this point to need restoration at all? Has life dealt you a difficult hand? Have you experienced a deep pain that's made you even question the very God that we claim to serve? Or has God allowed some things into your life? In the process of the turmoil, have we lost sight of our Savior and His love for us? Calvary demonstrates to humanity, to me, to you today, the lengths that the Lord will go to save His people from sin. It shows us the determination, the limitless boundaries of God's love. It's limitless today. The boundaries of God's love are limitless today. He is concerned about you. He's concerned about me. We are significant in the sight of the Lord. Have we made some choices that have led us away from Jesus today? This is often the reality of life. We have freedom. We have free will to choose to follow or not follow the Lord. Either way, it's a decision that we make. He doesn't want any of us to perish, but wants us all to come to Him and repent. It's not going to be this big old eternal gigantic hammer from heaven bashing us every time we do something wrong. No, that's not how God works. He loves you. He's concerned about you. He desires His very best for you in your life. All we have to do is walk forward in faith. The Bible says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. Are there some people that are hungering today after righteousness, seeking and desiring for more of God and His presence and His power to be made real in your life? We serve a God that is in the business of restoration today. Maybe you feel like there's this giant bullseye on your back, and your enemy is trying to do everything in his power to destroy you, trying to stop you, trying to distract you. But the Bible says that even this enemy, he might be seeking and roaming around like some roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible does declare that we have all power today, that we serve a God that's greater than our enemy. He's greater than Satan. The power that's within us can do amazing things in this world if we'll simply allow His presence to guide and direct and lead our steps. There's absolutely nothing that Satan can do to cause you to lose out in your relationship with Jesus, because God is greater. No matter what you go away with today, this morning, just remember that God is greater. He's greater than your pain. He's greater than your problems. He's greater than your sorrows. He's greater than the issues we're facing. We serve a God. He's greater than anything we might experience in this world. And He loves you. He desires great things for your life. Is the gulf of our past so great that God is not able to forgive our sin? No. He's able to bring supernatural healing and restoration to our life. He can transform our pain today into a pulpit to testify about the goodness of Jesus. You have to understand, my friend, you know, I was once in sin, but then Jesus delivered me. I was trapped in addictions, but then Jesus set me free. I was bound by the things of this world, but thank God, Jesus lifted me out of the muck and the mire that I experienced. The same God who saw our brokenness is able to bring restoration in our life today. What has the locust eaten in your life this morning? What does it feel like we've lost? Do we feel like we have this life of shame, this baggage that we're carrying? The Lord wants to restore you today. He wants to heal you today. He wants to transform you from the inside out and provide you the hope that is only found in Jesus. I'm thankful for the Lord's hope today. There's hope today, and it's found in the Lord. Secondly, for restoration to occur, we must understand that we are at a crossroads in life. A crossroad is simply a place where I can make a decision. It can have drastic effects on the path of life in which I take. Every day we face dilemmas, we face decisions, we face choices. These choices either draw us closer to the presence of the Lord, or I dare say can draw us farther away from Him. If we stop in the middle of the story as we read in our passage today, the only thing we see is that the locusts have eaten everything and that the land is desolate. But if we continue to the rest of the story, as, by the way, Paul Harvey might say. The rest of the story, the question is this: am I going to be defined by my past? Will I be a victim? Or can I allow my life to be under the presence of the Lord and be a victor because of his power and his strength and his deliverance being made real in my life? I believe some folks in this room can claim that Jesus Christ is a deliverer. He is the one that guides us and leads us and directs us. He is our friend. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Someone needs to hear that your desolate place today, it does not have to be your destiny. Your locust eaten fields do not have to be the end of your story. For each of us, there is this defining moment in our life where we have to take a step of faith and walk boldly where the Lord is calling us to go. Because if we ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life, we run the risk of hardening our hearts and searing our conscience and saying, God, I think I got this one. Why don't you catch me on the next choice I've got to make? I think of Peter, determining in his heart that he's going to follow the voice of Jesus and walk on water toward his master. If Peter never gets out of the boat, he loses an amazing opportunity to increase his faith in the Lord. Is God calling you to take a walk into the deep sea today, to go beyond failures, go beyond fear, to take a step and say, God, I don't know how this is going to unfold, but I'm willing to trust in Jesus. I don't know how I'm going to witness to my friends at work, but I'm willing to trust in Jesus. I don't know how I'm going to get involved in Sunday school in the church, but I'm willing to trust in Jesus. I don't know how this will all unfold in my life, but I am willing to trust in the Lord. If you want to trust in Jesus, can we clap our hands together and praise him? The Lord has been a constant, still, small voice in our life, beckoning us to trust in him. Place your trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and what? And he shall direct your paths. I'm thankful that the Lord can direct our paths today. Aren't you thankful that he is able to guide, to lead, to direct us if we will submit ourselves to him? It was Oswald Chambers in his book, My Utmost for His Highest. He penned these words: our yesterdays hold broken and irreversible things for us. It is true we have lost opportunities that will never return. But God, oh, I love the fact that God is there. God is in the midst of this. God can transform this destructive anxiety into a constructive thoughtfulness for the future. Let the past rest, but let it rest in the sweet embrace of Jesus Christ. Leave the broken, irreversible past in his hands and step out into the invincible future with him. We serve a God that's able to transform your situation. He's able to bring healing and strength and deliverance. Have you felt some pain? Sure. But we serve a God that's greater than our pain. He's greater than our sorrow. He's greater than our suffering today. We serve a God that cares, and he loves you, and he desires that we leave our past in his hands
and trust him for healing today. For some of us, it's time to get out of the boat. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to get out of the boat. It's time to embark upon the greatest adventure we could ever imagine because we've trusted Jesus with our lives. Restoration requires that we take a leap of faith and trust the Lord with our presence and with our future. You'll never regret following the voice of God for your life. I can testify today. I'm a believer today, okay? You will never regret following the voice of God for your life. How do you know? I just know. There are circumstances and situations in our own life that I could tell you about. I wish I had more time, but I will share this one story. I serve as a hospice chaplain by day. That means I'm serving some of our most difficult stories and families in our community. Sometimes I'm coming alongside of them during a very difficult moment in their life. Well, preacher, how do you bring them hope? I tell them about Jesus. I tell them about God's grace and his power and his presence and how God is able to forgive and bring healing and strength. And he's able to make all things new in their lives. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know you. I don't know your story. But Jesus does. And he wants to bring healing to your life today. Friend, what kind of healing? What are you talking about? How would you know? He wants to bring emotional healing. He wants to bring spiritual healing. He wants to touch your life and transform the darkness, the void that you've been faced and feeling with hope. We find a hope today, and that hope is found in the Lord. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ provides hope in our life today? Are you thankful that Jesus Christ loves you today? I'm thankful for his mercy. I'm thankful for his power. I'm thankful for his grace. Thirdly, for restoration to occur, we must allow the Master to mold our lives. The path of restoration begins with self-examination and surrender to the Lord's plan for us. We must humbly submit to him when we don't have the answers. I believe we are still in need of a Savior. When we do have all the answers, we are still in need of a Savior. I need Jesus in my life every single day. Mold me. Make me, change me. Let me be more like you. Are there some folks in our life we need to forgive? Because if someone has hurt you and it's swelling up inside of you, it's going to lead to bitterness. And bitterness can be the very wall that can harm our spiritual development. Unless the clay lets loose of lumps, it can never be formed into a vessel the potter is able to mold. The Lord desires to bring about healing in our life. This can only occur as we completely give of ourselves to him. Let the Lord take care of your pain today. We can't continue carrying the weight of the world and the weight of the past on our back. Allow the Lord to wipe away the shame from our past in order to find true restoration. Today, someone needs restoration. Someone needs healing. I came here today, I was going to preach a much better sermon. I thought about Corinthians chapter 13 even. Just kidding. But what I will say is the Lord placed this on my heart for someone. Maybe it's just one person that needs restoration today. Maybe it's two. I don't know. But the Lord sent me here to tell you that he's in the restoration business. He's in the healing business today. He wants to help you, deliver you, change you. Whatever you're facing today, he is here and he's able. He's able. He's able. Today, I want you to know that anything that is broken can be restored by Jesus. Anything you have faced, anything you are facing, is able to be restored in the hands of the Master. When we place our lives into the Master's hands, he can take what seemed hopeless and rewrite our story. Maybe you feel your life doesn't have much worth, but I want to declare that you are valuable in the sight of the Lord. He cares about you. He's concerned about you. You are priceless. Your worth is so great that he went to the cross to redeem you, to buy you back from the penalty of sin. He loves you today. The cross stands as the greatest story of restoration in the history of humanity. The finished work of Calvary is all about restoring the desolate, barren places in our life and give us hope. I'm thankful that for the hope that we find today in the hands of Jesus. God's word promises restoration to everyone who reaches out for it. He made a way with the cross and continues to make a way for us every day. And as we close, and I ask the musicians to come, one of the most beautiful promises of God's love in all the Bible is found in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That, my friend, is the kind of God that we serve here today. He's not put off by your past. He's not put off by your pain or the shame that you feel like you're carrying today. He loves you. He sees that you are valuable and worthy today. He counts you worthy today. He loves you today. We have God's promises. We have the cross. But sometimes we still have a hard time receiving restoration in our life. Oh, preacher, you have no idea what you're talking about. I pastor a church of great people, wonderful people. I know exactly what I'm talking about. People who have been transformed by the Spirit of God, who have their lives on the path toward the Lord for whatever reason, will still carry baggage from our past. We'll still carry things upon us. We feel the weight of choices that we've made, even though we've felt the grace and the mercy of God for whatever reason. We can't receive God's healing in our life. Today, my message is about healing. It's about finding hope and restoration from your past. Because we serve a God who makes all things new. He makes all things new. He cares about your circumstance. He cares about your troubles, your pains, your trials. He is a very present help. In time of trouble, we can run to him. He is our strong tower. The righteous run to him. And we are safe in him today. I'm thankful for that kind of love that's given to us by our Savior. As we close, as we stand today in this room, someone has experienced some sorrow, some suffering. You're kind of like that prodigal son. You've left the home, you've left the nest, and for some reason, you've made some choices, and those choices have cost you something. They've cost you dearly. It feels like you're stuck in that pig pen, that mess of life. And even though you know that there's a heavenly Father that loves you somewhere out there, you're not sure if he's going to accept you back into his fold. You don't exactly know how it's going to take place. But the prodigal son forgot something. The unmatched love of his Father. In this room today, some of you have got to understand that you have this amazing love found in your heavenly Father. That even though it feels like you've been stuck in the pig pen of life, and you've struggled, and you've searched, and you're unsure of what to do, there is healing and restoration at the foot of the cross of Jesus today. He wants to touch you. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. As we just for a minute close your eyes, I'd like to make some final statements. We've got a song we're going to sing, and I invite you to come to the front and pray. But as your eyes are closed today, I'm asking someone in this room needs healing from your past. Someone in this room needs restoration from things that have occurred. You might be a believer. You've been baptized. You've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're living a wonderful life toward him. But for whatever reason, you still have weight in your shoulders from your past. Jesus Christ is in the restoration business. He wants to make all things new today. If this message has spoken to you on some level, I invite you to come to the front and begin to pray and find the healing that you need. Discover the sweet embrace of a loving Father that will welcome you back into his arms. Let's find a place of prayer today. Jesus Christ is here and he wants to touch your life and bring a healing and transformation and change. Can we all find a place of prayer right now? Jesus Christ wants to do a great work in your life today. Let's all find a place to pray.